God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I say that every day, Leonora. I got to mix it up.
You got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. I get tired of saying the same old every single day. We've been talking about Corona for
weeks, and I just don't think it's going to stop. So
I put in my show promotion today. I said, we're going to be talking about the same old thing.
Yeah. So the one thing you don't have to say, because of the simple fact that you already spoke to me, is that I'm joined by Leonora Crivetta.
Of course.
But I said it. So, yeah, Corona. It continues to be the dominant story, as we now have hit over a million cases worldwide, and in the U.S., 245,000 and change. So you know, it just and we have over 6,000 deaths in the U.S. right now.
I don't know what it takes for a liberal to actually open up their eyes and see how ridiculous Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff are becoming. Right now, they have put together papers and had meetings. And I mean, can you name one thing? Seriously, in all seriousness, can you name one thing that the Democrats have prescribed that the president hasn't done? Not one. You can't name one.
And you know what?
And not to mention the fact that we had played clips all week long from Big Bird de Blasio and all these other people. You know, Nancy Pelosi's walking around Chinatown trying to call Trump a xenophobe, you know, about 30 days after Trump had already initiated a travel ban. They were calling Trump xenophobic and racist because he was aggressive and proactive and quick to the draw.
And turned out to be right. Turned out to be the exact thing he should have done.
But they're trying to say he didn't get it. He didn't take it seriously enough. He was late to the game. No, that wasn't true. They're rewriting history. And that's the part that's the problem. Is when you take a look back at the fact that Big Bird de Blasio was telling his people in New York City on March 10th to go to the movie theaters. And then he even came out with a recommended movie list. And just so you know, I'll recommend these movies to go to.
Right? You know, in fairness, he wasn't the only person who told people to go out.
And I'm not even blaming him.
But in
what I'm saying is that's what they knew then.
That's what they knew then. This is what we know now.
But what I'm saying is that President Trump to actually accuse President Trump of not getting it early, and to blame him for being late to the game, to me, is absolutely ridiculous given all the video footage we have of Nancy Pelosi prancing around Chinatown or Big Bird de Blasio saying the things he was saying. How about Andrew Cuomo, who was talking about where he needed 30,000 ventilators? He has 2,000 in a stockpile that he didn't even know about, and they're not even using those yet. He says, we're going to keep them for a rainy day. And you know what? It turns out it's looking more and more like that rainy day is not even going to come. For my liberal friends out there who try to say that we're saying that it's a hoax, It's not. We're not saying it's a hoax. What I'm saying is that I think that the whole reason why this whole thing came out like the way it did was malicious and premeditated. That's what I'm saying.
And I agree with you.
I'm not blaming the Democrats for this as much as I'm blaming China.
Well, it's, you know, there's a couple things. First of all, we didn't have all the information about China. So Trump was right to show the abundance and caution with regard to China. The other thing is we are now starting to see an increasing politicization from the left and the right about the way to deal with the coronavirus and the way that we have dealt with the coronavirus. As if you look at the way the left writes about it versus the right writes about it, there is a great divide. And this is a time in which we are to be, should be coming together. We should be leaving the stripes at the door and being concerned about public health because we have a worldwide public health crisis. We should not be throwing daggers at each other. We should be figuring out how to save our communities, how to protect our economy, and how to keep up our spirits
well,
during
Fox
this
News
time.
Reported, they said after mocking Trump for, and this was that guy from NBC, he does Today's Show on the weekends. He was the one that got into a big heated discussion with Donald Trump. It says, after mocking Trump for promoting hydroxychloroquine, journalists acknowledge it might treat coronavirus. Well, duh.
Duh.
But what bothers me is what we've been learning about Andrew Cuomo, who's been on TV with Don Lemon and CNN and his brother. And I'm telling you, my gut feeling is that Chris Cuomo is faking this COVID.
I certainly hope he is not, because you know what, Scott? If that turns out to be true,
well, we're never going to know.
Well, we're never
going to know. It's my gut feeling. It's just a gut. It's the way they've exploited it. It's the opportunity. It's everything in between, and it's just one of those things where I just feel it, because when you look and you see how all these benefits, everything benefits Andrew Cuomo, and you know they moved the DNC back to August 17th.
Yeah, so
you know.
Now what's going to happen is the DNC is going to be the week before the RNC. Now again, the DNC was the week after the RNC 4 years ago, but this year the plan was to have the DNC in mid July and the RNC in late August. So there was a significant gap in between the two conventions. Now they're just back the way they were the year before, the election before, except it's the who goes first has been switched. The Dems are going first, and then the Republicans are going second.
Colin, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
I have a strong comment about New Yorkers and being victims of our governor's decision to hold back the drug that seems to be the answer to this problem for all these people that have died. So if you do the numbers and do the math and you listen to Dr. Stephen Smith that has been on Fox News about three times in the last 2 weeks, and then the doctor that they took down from the internet that had 350 patients get well from this drug. And everybody's talking about how Trump has, blood on his hands.
Right. I mean, Andrew Cuomo has blood on his hands for banning it.
These patients.
Yeah, and he just gave kudos to the governor of Nevada who literally just recently flipped because he said he's banning it too. The Michigan governor was banning it. And it really, Brian Kilmeade came out and said it yesterday. And he said, you know what bothers me is that there's a drug out there that has a really high cure rate. Why not use it? Why not? And in fact, every New Yorker should be taking this drug because this is a drug. If you have lupus and you're on it, it's a very basic drug. It's benign. It can't hurt you. You should just take it because what it does is it builds a fortress around your cell that prevents the COVID from going in and connecting to your cell. And the other one is blood types are important. Like we just learned today that type O is less susceptible
exactly.
to getting it than
type A. Exactly. So the more, and they don't know why yet, but you know, but we're still getting more information.
Yeah.
So if I lived in New York City, which I do not, but I'm an upstate New Yorker, and our hospitals, might be inundated with this if this goes any further, which is a risk to our public health. And you know, I'm very upset every day. I'm upset that this hasn't changed. And if I'm going to be forced possibly to get a vaccine in a year or two, then these people need an option if they want to take the drug. If I lived in New York City and I knew I was on those subways and I knew that I traveled public transportation and I'm sitting in my house scared every day and in my yeah. apartment every day, you're darn straight. If they said, do you want this drug and we'll leave it at your doorstep, I would say, yeah, give me a 2-week dose. Thank you. Because
right.
you're going to see the rate of the disease fall. You got 70,000 people in a city, crammed in a city of 18 million people with this condition right now, and you're not going to give away as prevention the people that have been exposed. It makes no sense. It's not logical. And to me, the whole thing looks planned because of that and because of his whole ventilator thing. And as a New York State taxpayer, which I pay $10,000 a year in taxes, and if I lived in another state, I'd pay $3,000 a year in taxes, I want that drug distributed to those poor people because it's a crime to not have it distributed.
It is a crime.
An absolute crime.
It's a crime. And President Trump has been pushing it. The Democrats have been blocking it because they know that if they put out the solutions too quickly, this will not yield the political damage that they want it to be. But what they don't realize is that everybody across America knows that Trump was not late to the game, that Trump is working feverishly hard every single day. Those press conferences are proof of it. And that's why he's doing them, probably, is to show everybody that he's on this, right? And he's owning it as well. And so everybody knows that this is not Trump's fault. This is not Trump's problem. But everybody knows that the Democrats have not lifted a finger, and they've stood roadblock in the way of every single thing that could actually yield progress. And it's going to come back to haunt them, is what I'm saying.
Well, I agree that of everything you're saying, except everybody knows, because the CNN watchers and the MSNBC watchers, which are millions and millions of Americans, are clueless what's going on.
That's
and
true,
the only
but
reason
their
I
numbers
know
are not, their numbers are
the
shrinking.
Red State Radio and Fox.
Yeah. Their numbers are shrinking. And by the way, One America News Network is also getting some love because Stephanie Grisham reversed the White House correspondence recourse. Basically, they said that Chanel Rion, the OAN reporter, White House correspondent, was going to not be allowed in anymore. And Stephanie Grisham from the White House, press spokesperson, said, nope, that's not going to fly. She's back.
I hope they give her a seat so that it doesn't look like she's breaking in a party.
But thank you for calling in today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah. And, you know, so here's the thing, too. I have a lot of good stuff for today. It's going to be really eye-opening. But I'd like to watch Jason Goodman, who's been doing this walk around New York thing. And he was out last night around 10 p.m. live, and it was dead. But what was concerning to me, or what was eerie about it, was that there was absolutely no ambulances. All the ambulances were parked, and there was no sirens in the city.
Which, can you imagine, you know, a city without sirens? We make comments about this with the show all the time, from broadcasting in D.C., broadcasting in Philadelphia. We were constantly hearing sirens during normal times.
Right. So, you know, there's that. But then, you know, there's other people. Marcus Conti is a New Yorker that has a YouTube channel that, you know, he goes around. And he's like, wow, you know, I don't hear any sirens, you know, like whatever. I have a good source on this. He was telling me that in central PA, the hospitals are empty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not buzzing.
And we had a caller on yesterday from Monterey, California, who gave an anecdote of two separate hospitals where there was nobody there in the ERs.
I have this person that is on Facebook saying something about the Mayo Clinic. I actually know somebody from the Mayo Clinic that said counter to what she was saying. So she was spilling this these beans that would suggest that somehow, you know, their Mayo Clinic's busy. Busy with what? Busy with what? And so there is this push-pull going on as to whether the hospitals are busy or not. And the mainstream media is trying to corroborate, you know, like last night they were talking about the live footage in New York. They were saying, okay, so Andrew Cuomo is demanding, you know, or de Blasio is demanding, you know, a number of new ambulances. Yeah. I don't know if it was in the thousands or what. But and then they have these pop-up mass units in Central Park. They have the Jacob Javits Center with all these almost 3,000 beds. And then they have the ship, Comfort. And they have the and then getting out to the Mercy out west.
Right.
Gavin Newsom was baited by Jake Tapper. And he was baited with a mm-hmm. very leading question as to, you know, a lot of governors are complaining about Donald mm-hmm. Trump. Unless you kiss his ring, he won't deliver for you.
Right.
He said, well, I can only speak for myself. This is Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
And you know who retweeted that tweet? Was Don Jr.
Yeah.
Now, well, Don Jr. is dating
Kimberly
ex-wife.
Guilfoyle, his ex-wife. Yeah. You know, and you know what's interesting is I was reading an article in Politico about how governors have handled the response. And again, the writer was probably leaning left. But Newsom has been complimented for how he's handled the response, whereas Cuomo is not perceived as handling it particularly well. So it's interesting.
Proof in the numbers as well.
Yeah.
And so he could sit there in front of a bunch of box cartons all day long.
Yeah.
With his nipple rings.
Oh God.
I mean, that,
all right. Like you know, with all the seriousness.
You got one freak Cuomo with nipple rings at a pandemic press conference. You know, I said I'm confident, but I'm not Andrew Cuomo giving a press conference with my nipple rings.
Well, then
for
don't
pandemic.
Wear a T-shirt where you could say, "Why would
confident.
Somebody? Why would you let people see that?"
No,
of
but
all
you
things?
Know the thing is that then now his brother's got the virus.
Well, it's going to be
and
very.
They're milking it for all it's worth. They're talking about their bass fishing days and.
What I see here is to go back to what you were saying earlier in the show. If it turns out that he is either faking it or exaggerating this to get ratings or to undermine the president or a combination thereof, I think there's going to be some, you know, there's something to pay for
well,
that
think
because.
About it.
This is like the Truman Show. This is like, you know, the movie from, I think it came out in 75 or 76, Network.
Yeah.
Where they staged, you know, it was a show where they staged, they had a news anchor like kill himself on air. It's that type of environment where we're creating a spectacle, a sideshow about this.
And it's not beyond them to lie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Chris Cuomo's been making stuff up for a long time. You know, Fredo. And just think, I mean, what was Andrew Cuomo doing? You know, he was yelling, you know, which one of you is going to decide who the 26,000 people are that are going to die?
He was also
throwing
a few months ago, he was throwing himself on the floor during an election saying he was for women's rights or something. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I am for women's rights.
I'm an immigrant.
He said, I'm an immigrant. I too am an illegal.
I too am a woman who wants her body rights protected or something.
No, they got a screw loose, honestly.
Well,
the Cuomo
brothers. They're political. They're political animals.
They've gone bonzo. But there's a lot more hopeful stories, too, that we're going to get to today.
We need hopeful
and,
stories.
But one of the stories that's not hopeful is that 3M is throwing America under the bus. And I think that is. Somewhat telling. So Donald Trump tweeted out in strong fashion, and he said, we hit 3M hard today after seeing what they were doing with their masks. The Production Act, he calls it the P Act, all the way. Big surprise to many in government as to what they were doing. They'll have a big price to pay. And so 3M basically, from what I understand, sold more masks to China. They're making these N95 masks.
Mm-hmm.
And the N95 masks, I like the scarf idea.
Yeah, you came up with a very good idea.
I have these sleeves that are hats, you know, where they're actually like cylinders and you can put them on your head. It's almost like a beanie. But you, it's like a scarf. It's like a mini silk scarf.
You can do like six different things with it. Remember?
Exactly. And
so,
like,
thanks to you, we're set.
So I have a whole bunch, like 9-pack of these things, yeah. And those you could rewash.
And you generously gave a few of them to me.
Yeah.
Well, so we're set. You
know, I gotta have my show host healthy. So there's these articles that have come out. One more thing. How about Obama? Oh, when they let's just get past the Democrats bashing Trump over this, and yet offering no solutions whatsoever. You could name one, right? I mean, they're not naming any. They're not stepping down at the table and trying to work as united as Americans. And again, I always attribute this, and I say I blame Obama, because our country was never so divided as it was under Obama, where he wanted to take money out of your pocket and give it to one of his voter blocks.
Well, didn't
To me, that was just a recipe for divisiveness.
Well, speaking of Obama, didn't Dan Crenshaw call out Joe Biden?
Yeah,
saying,
well,
what
Biden
did you do
said,
during
this is
Ebola?
A national disgrace.
Yeah.
And he said, that's not helpful.
Yeah. And what did you do while you were vice president during the Ebola crisis?
With Ebola and H1N1.
Yeah. What did you do?
Swine flu.
How did you help it?
So, and then you can go back and you can go to a flashback. And Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah.
Says, I can think of one word. And then she says two words. Then she said, more, better, whatever.
No, what she said was, how would she have handled it? Or she said,
better.
I think she said better. And then she said two words,
much
better.
Yeah.
Right, please. Sounds smug right now. That's so appropriate.
Yeah. So there's this PJ Media article. It says, flashback. Obama played golf the same day his administration declared H1N1 a public health emergency.
Yeah.
And nothing for nothing, but he'd made that declaration 4.5 months after the World Health Organization declared it a world pandemic.
Yeah.
And it took Trump 2 days, just 2 days,
yeah,
to issue a national state of emergency. Now, here's the thing, and the biggest problem I'm having with the whole thing is that the loss of life is going to be much, much greater. And I see the caller. I'll get that in a second. It's going to be much, much greater than the loss of life related to this world, staying at home.
Yeah.
Like, this whole stay at home movement is not good for us.
It's really not good psychologically. And on Monday, we'll talk about my article.
Yeah. But I believe we had to do it for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
But again, there's a certain point where, if we lose 10 million jobs and these people, what are they going to go back to? And their lives have been destroyed. There's people that own restaurants and other things where they were on the margins to begin with. They're done. They're dead as disco. They'll never, ever get that business back. And so this article here that I wrote, I posted. It says, fantastic video interview, German infectologist. Government lockdowns are collective suicide. They will shorten the lives of millions. Fewer than 0.5% of infections are serious. Most do not even develop any disease. This is the great hysteria pandemic.
It's socialism. It's having the government take over people's lives.
The same guy decimates the COVID doomsday cult in an open letter to Angela Merkel. And he says, he's calling this the Mind Virus 19. Mind Virus 19. Please stop saying, check this out. This is a good one. Please stop saying Sweden is the one taking a gamble. There is nothing safe about the unprecedented social experiment. And we're going to take a caller. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello. He's there?
Yes.
Yeah,
your name
here.
And where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and what's your name?
And Floyd.
Okay, Floyd.
And they need to get their straitjackets for these people, put them in a rubber room, close the door, lock the door, and throw away the keys.
That sounds...
These people are insane.
Right. Did you hear what this scientist said? He said this is like a mind virus. And you know how Sweden has taken a no-ban role? They're going to be like business as usual, right? They're just business as usual, and people are shouting out. But what that's going to do, because their numbers aren't skewing any differently than anyone else's, and what's going to happen is if they prove to be successful, it's going to make the scientist geniuses look really stupid, because these scientists ruined the world economy and caused more deaths as a result of it than this COVID could ever do.
You know, my question would be that this disease has been around and the scientists have known about it. They should already have the cure for this. If they were messing around with this, they should know how to cure it. 50 years it's been around. This is like Groundhog Day 19. It's like he's seeing it every day you wake up. You go to the grocery store this morning. I went. And people walking around with masks and gloves. It's like a sci-fi movie.
It absolutely is. You're right. And I want to thank you for sharing that. Thank you for calling in today.
Yeah, you both have a nice day.
You too.
All right, you too.
I enjoy your show. I enjoy your show.
That's nice to hear.
Thank you so much.
Sir.
Thank you. And we love your area, Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, we're former Pennsylvanians.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, we have a big announcement, too, by the way. So if you're all paying attention, come Monday, today's Friday, come Monday, we are going to be back to 3 hours.
Yep.
A three-hour show. And what happened was our syndicated station, great station out of Philadelphia, WFYL, run by the Locks, Susan and Alan Locke, worked hard to get their antenna back up and running. And it took them a while, but their antenna is now, actually from what I understand, it's at a higher plateau. So it's actually going to be stronger than ever. And that's the great thing. It's going to have a bigger audience. It's going to have a further reach. It's going to sound better.
And we will be able to talk directly to a lot of our listeners in Pennsylvania, which is terrific.
In the Philadelphia area. And I'm telling you, they put a lot of work into this.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. It was very hard to do. And there's still a couple of things that they're doing that even prove it even further with some other antennas and things. But, you know, radio still, people still like to get in their, you know, vehicle and turn the radio on. And so, you know, radio's not dead at all.
Well,
I mean, I know digital radio is you know, the growing media, but analog radio and AM and FM, it's still needed in America.
And also, I do think that at this time of crisis, people are relying on their local radio and local television, too, because they're getting some of the more detailed stuff that they don't get on a national level.
And you know what we hear every day is... What we hear every day is that people are getting tired of listening to Fox News because they've really, I mean, what they did to Trish Regan, I think
she's so fantastic. I cannot believe that.
Okay. And so we're going to go ahead and take a caller, quick call. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, this is Julie from Pennsylvania.
Oh, great.
Isn't it awful about Trish Regan? And they're masking the real reason why she got kicked off. It was because she gave the story about when she was pregnant and she was in Wall Street and she couldn't get a swine flu vaccine. And she was, when she was in Wall Street, they said, oh, we have tons of vaccines. All you have to do is go upstairs. We'll give you one. And apparently it turned out that Bloomberg and Obama had allotted all the vaccines for New York City to Wall Street and the big banks. And that's why she got fired. They pretended that it was because she did the other thing, which was extremely eloquent, but that was the real core of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was a broadcast she did. I think it was on February 28th, right, around then. That's a
not,
really good
it
point.
It wasn't that main thing that we were playing. It was this.
No.
Okay.
It was what she said about Bloomberg and the fact that he held up the viruses. Because if you really think about it, that's really important. And that's no different than Cuomo hiding the ventilators in Jersey, in Edison, New Jersey.
Right. Well, thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say we should all wear T-shirts that we love. We want to see what happens to Sweden, because I think that and as for masks, I think that's an atrocity, and we should fight to not wear masks. And the fact that you had the O negative blood, that indicates that it was a bioweapon, because they constructed the bioweapon based on the vaccines as a baseline, and that's important what you said this morning. So I'm sorry, I won't take any more of your time.
You've come in with a lot of great information. Thank you so much, Julie.
That's just the way she ends her call. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But she shouldn't do that. We really appreciate her calling in, but she did bring up something good. We should probably post it on our social media, because that is actually still out there, that video. It's February 28th of Trish Regan.
So I wonder how long this video is. This is too long. Okay, so there's this fantastic video. German infectologists: government lockdowns or collective suicide will short the lives of millions. Fewer than 0.5% of infections are serious. Most do not even develop any disease. After we started the show, I posted this. And this was one by the Gateway Pundit. And it says, breaking, New York data confirms, once again, 99% of coronavirus fatalities have pre-existing conditions. 94% of fatalities are over the age of 45. Open the economy. So what happened was, the jobless numbers came out like 6.6 million. And the grand total was about 10 million.
Yeah.
And people were like, wow, that's worse than we thought, right? That's really, really bad. And so you know, everybody was very concerned and upset about this. So the big story yesterday was really about, you know, this number. Well, number one, retailers are selling more guns than ever before.
Yeah.
2.5 million guns were sold in March. That's a million higher than normal. People are really spooked by all this. Sean Davis said, in just the last 2 weeks, 10 million people lost their jobs. They lost their ability to feed and take care of their families because the government made it illegal for them to work. And how did Washington, D.C. respond? By giving them $1,200.
Well, and that couldn't have said it better. And, you know, while we were doing the show, we did get an announcement that the U.S. payrolls dropped 701,000 in March, which is the first jobs decline since 2010. So, again, they're going to blame President Trump for this.
Well, I've already seen it on social media. And it's like, shame on them for doing that. You know, this is a pandemic. Everybody knows it. And you know what you got to do? You got to showcase relativity.
Yeah.
How did the other countries fare?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, America is going to fare even better. And Trump said this one thing that caught my ear, and that is the stimulation that we're doing, this injection.
Yeah.
And the Federal Reserve prime rates down to zero. All of these things are going to make restructuring and rebuilding cheap, because when you take loans out, you pay no interest. So there's going to be a big stimulus package for roads and bridges and things, and now would be the time to do it. President Trump's on that. But he also said that when it comes back, it's going to spring back like a rocket ship, because there's been so much stimulus in the economy that when things get back, you add the stimulus to it, and it's going to make for a very favorable landscape for business.
And we should mention that, you know, the small business loans that are now available. And I think what's, because that was announced yesterday. Well, I mean, it's been talked about for a while, but, you know, it was more formalized yesterday. And one of the things I like about the injection of small business loans is that if you qualify for one and you receive it, you cannot lay people off after you've received the loan. You can apply after having previously laid people off, but you cannot lay them off if you become a recipient of the funds.
Right. Okay. And I tweeted out this too, and Sean Davis had a really great tweet. And then I tweeted this out. It was a two-part tweet. I said, if you want to see what socialism looks like, you're living it. With 10 million people out of work, the death toll from suicides, lack of exercise, and substance abuse will be far greater from COVID. People know this was a planned attack. The Dems exploited it, and it's not Trump's fault. Those are the three things you need to take to the bank, which is, people know this was a planned attack, that the Democrats have exploited it for political opportunity, and it's not Trump's fault. Those are the three things. And I said Trump policies stimulated the economic growth, manufacturing jobs, stronger middle class, and transferred power from Washington back to you, the people, like in our open, Leonora.
Exactly. Back to you, the people.
And he has done that, right?
Yeah.
But the coronavirus, the China virus, the Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus destroyed the economy and transferred power away from the people back to D.C. And now they want to rig your election. And thank goodness Trump was able to take those ballot harvesting, early voting clauses and measures. But you see what they were trying to do. They're trying to steal the election.
Yeah.
And they're trying to exploit this for all it's worth. And what it's going to do. Now, I don't know why, but I know Democrats that still believe, you know, what the mainstream media is telling them. And they mm-hmm. think that Trump did a bad job and they hate Trump and they let, you know, they're not going to vote for Trump. I don't really get it. You know, I don't understand that, because I see it so clearly. You know, like, I see this BS. And, you know, like when, you know, Hillary Clinton goes down to the South with her horse mouth, acting like she's some sort of a televangelist with a Southern drawl, is ridiculous, right? I see it. But somehow they're like, yeah, she really is passionate.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Anybody that would do that to me, I'm a Native American. If they started talking like, sounded like a Native American Indian, I would be like, no, that's not cool.
You don't sound like it. Well, speaking
of... I would be offended by that.
Of course,
right?
You should be offended by that. Speaking of passion, I want to give a good story. Ivanka Trump is leading with something called Together Apart, Playtime Ideas. So there are a lot of things that you're going to start seeing on social media where people are talking about Together Apart, ideas for things to do with your children, like learning how to play guitar, ways of connecting with other individuals through sharing information during this time to maintain those connections. So we need to keep talking about some of these good news stories that are happening, ways in which people are still holding hands figuratively, even if they can't hold them literally.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to read Joe M. Joe M. says, Bill Gates is head of the deep state's population reduction agenda and leads their efforts in sterilization, populace regulation, biological agents, and vaccine weaponization. He oversees multiple blueprints from localized population boosts or cuts to global extinction events. And so, you know, this is going back to the 201 mm-hmm. project in New York in October. That was just 1 month before the first case of the pandemic. I said, say, didn't Hitler want to kill what he deemed inferior, while only preserving the strong? Kind of reminds me of COVID, which kills the weak, leaving only the strong to survive. Saves on, in quotes, global health, world health, socialized health costs, and part of the New World Order globalist agenda.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think if Hitler were alive today, he'd be a globalist.
Oh, he certainly would be a globalist.
And we're going to go ahead and take a caller. Caller, you're on the air?
Yes, I'm the caller from California.
Oh, did you call California. In about the Monterey thing yesterday?
This is Anita, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, yes. Anita.
Hey.
It's an echo, so I'm just going to say this real fast. Nancy Pelosi, she went to Chinatown. Do you think that she's on the anti-malaria drug before she went there? Because I just can't see her doing that otherwise.
Yeah, more than likely she would have been.
It's my gut feeling. And here's the second thing I want to say. This is kind of off the subject, but do you know why Trump doesn't need glasses? Because he's got 20/20, baby. Okay, anyway.
That's good.
Take care, all.
All right.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Oh, that was a good one.
That's good.
Actually, I was a little late. I was a little late to pick that joke up. I was like, oh, okay, that's good.
Well, you know what my mother used to say? My mother used to say, you need to laugh, because when you laugh, you release all of your poisons. So the more that we all laugh, the better inoculated we become.
So in case anybody missed her joke, why don't you can tell it again.
Okay, Trump, you want to know the reason why President Trump doesn't need glasses? Because he's got 20/20, baby. I don't know if I said it as well as Anita did, but I said it.
That was good. I like that. I like that a lot. So this Mind Virus 19 is what they're calling it. And I like this one here. I'm going to go to this article here, and I'm going to say, please stop saying Sweden is the one taking the gamble. There is nothing safe about the unprecedented social experiment. When did impersonating Pol Pot become the safe option? That's the opening. You'd have to go back to Pol Pot and Mao to find something as radical as what we're attempting, only this time it has taken over whole continents. Even some of those who look at Sweden's chosen path to tackling the COVID mind virus scare with a measure of envy, admiration, and support, nonetheless insist the country is taking a gamble. Please, we've decided to bring the global economy, which is what finances our health systems in the first place, to a halt, and to confine entire continents to their homes in sweeping, never-before-seen measures whose consequences are impossible to predict. But it's Sweden who is taking the gamble. Really? We've got most of Europe and North America, as well as parts of Asia and South America. That's hundreds of billions, possibly over a billion people, told they cannot work or even leave the indoors except for the briefest of journeys. But it's Sweden who takes the gamble. We've got restrictions, which is imposed on us by foreign government countries. I mean, you know, Hobby Lobby was forced at gunpoint to shut down a Midwest. In a Midwest Hobby Lobby, the police shut them down.
It's incredible.
The police have guns. So,
I get that.
But the, there's like a mother and her child, they want to go and make crafts together while they're stuck at home. Why wouldn't you allow some sort of way to do that? See, the problem I have with this whole thing is the over control. You could do what a lot of the grocery stores have said. We're only going to allow 10 in at a time or 20 in at a time, social distancing and whatever. But the thing is that I believe that the numbers are not accurate. And not only that, but one of the other big stories to talk about is that Fauci and Birx are embracing exponential models. Exponential models are far more doom and gloom than other kinds of models.
They're using models that give worst case scenarios, and I think the communication on a daily basis of the worst case scenarios is not helpful, because the more we talk about the bad news, the more it seems to happen. And I know that sounds simplistic to articulate it that way, but I do really believe it's true, because every time somebody in authority speaks about something, the market reacts, other consumers react. There is a domino effect to these negative talking points. Now, I'm not saying we should be sheltered from the truth, but we should not be constantly embracing the worst possible outcome. We should be talking more about what we actually know versus what we think might or might not happen. I think, because it's not helpful.
Right, right. I mean, the thing is, we have to get, when they say China and Iran are lowering their numbers to make themselves look good, and they're blowing up our numbers with exponential models, they're blowing up our numbers to make America look bad. And when you do those two things in concert with each other, it separates a gap and says America's not performing, Trump's doing a bad job. That's what they're trying to do here. And I think the globalists would love for Trump to disappear because he, you know. And then the other piece is that globalism has proven to be has failed. Because if you want socialism, you want globalism, it's right here. We're living it. It's a hell. And the other part is we're having supply chain dynamic problems. Yeah. Navarro, Peter Navarro said yesterday, and then he said, if there was ever a case against globalism, it's this.
Yeah.
It's this, because we can't get the supplies that we need. And then when you have China and Iran being accused of manufacturing their numbers, and you have Donald Trump saying there's really no way to know exactly what they're doing, but we know based on, like, for example, Leonore, cell phones. Didn't your brother?
Yeah, my brother and I got into a discussion about this. He said 20 million cell phone accounts in China have been canceled. And, you know, that kind of makes you wonder why. Are these people dead? Or is the government censoring them? What is going on? How are 20? Now, China has a huge population, but and maybe 20 million proportionately is not a lot of people in China. But still, that's kind of, it kind of makes you think.
1.2, 1.3 billion.
They're four times our size.
Yeah.
But still, that's significant to think that these people could just disappear off the radar.
All these phones have been canceled.
The accounts have been canceled.
20 million phones have been canceled.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, like, there's a lot of tertiary data that doesn't seem to jive with their loss of life related to the, so that's how we've put it together. And you can't really know for sure. And so if you can lower, if you're a state run, you know, you're a state that can lower the data, then certainly you're a state that can raise the data. And I would not put it past the liberal CDC run by Rod Rosenstein's sister, connected with, you know, Birx and Fauci. Fauci's photographed chummy with Bill Gates, with Nancy Pelosi, with all of the Hillary Clinton, loves Hillary Clinton, wrote love letters to Hillary Clinton. I just love you so much. You know, the guy is like a babbling idiot.
Well,
this Anthony Fauci guy is just a liberal as the day is long. And he's using these models that would make a climate change liberal proud. Okay. Because the 97% of the scientists pushing the climate change hoax were using the same kind of data to support their argument. And they were paid to do it by taxpayers. And Democrats were loving every bit of it.
Well, that's it. And, you know, again, with these numbers, you know, not just the forecasted numbers, but the actual numbers, you still have several factors at play. First, we don't know that the numbers that we're hearing are accurate because there are probably incentives to not tell the truth. And secondly, there may be unintentional errors happening because, like I've said before, 9/11, the numbers were so high and then they came lower because they had the multiple lists and there was duplications.
That's true. And you know what else? What makes me excited and what makes me feel good is I think Trump's got something up his sleeve. And I think what it is again, he let these people give their numbers. He didn't give his own.
Right. Birx and Fauci.
That's right. And I think that what's going to happen is you're going to see this this Abbott Labs quick test start to reach its start to reach everybody.
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to be this quick test that's going to decentralize, so that it's going to depower. It's going to remove power from CDC. It's going to remove power from NIH, which I think these are somewhat corrupt institutions. Not as corrupt as WHO, but very, very much liberally bent. And so what I'm saying is that these Abbott labs are going to put power back into the doctor-patient, decentralize. And I guarantee you a couple of things are going to happen. You're going to see more negatives than positives than we've seen in the past with the tests that were in secret.
Yeah.
And there was shared data among the cabal, CDC and NIH. And so I think there's going to be that. And I think that Trump's going to be pushing and mandating the use of hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak. And then this other drug is promising, too, for the AIDS drug with the and breast cancer to decrease your dependency on ventilators. So I think that when you see all of these things, I think that getting back to and then the test that's going on in Sweden right now with no change.
Yeah.
I think all of these things are going to be data points that are going to prove that this thing's going to be behind us before anybody ever expected. That's what I believe. And I've been saying it for weeks now, and I believe Trump believes that too. And I think it's just it's going to take another 5 to 10 days, and that's about it. And we'll see what happens. But with that, I want everybody to have a great weekend. Stay tuned for us on Monday. We're going to have our three-hour show on Monday starting on Red State at 8 and then 9 to 12 across the country at WFYL, 1180 a.m. in Philadelphia and beyond that. And with that, my name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonore Cravotta.
And you're listening to The Scott Adams Show. Everybody stay safe and have a great weekend. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
A long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.